So you guys know that prayer is something we take incredibly seriously here, and we believe that it's one of the greatest aspects of our walk with our Lord and Savior. We get a chance to speak personally and directly to the creator of this world, the creator of us, and the person who did all of this for us, gave it all for us. So we're going to take time now. We're just going to take 5 minutes and commit at this time to prayer. As always, we have a few things up here. This can be a time of confession, if there's something that you need to confess to him. This can be a time of thankfulness, thankful for what he did for us, thankful for the blessings that he's bestowed on you, the things that he's given you to be a steward over. There may be something that you want to ask God that you need some help with, something that you need to work on in your life, something you need to recommit to him. And then, as always, go to scripture if you need to. And today we have a prompt up of Psalm 91. So if you just want to spend some time reading that. And also, there are tons of people in this room who would love to pray with you. So feel free to pray on your own. If you want to get together in groups, if you want to find one of us, we'd be more than willing to pray with you as well. So let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you know who we are, the good and the bad. You see the mistakes we make. You see our selfishness. You see the times that we walk in our flesh instead of walking by your Spirit. And you still came and you sacrificed it all. And you still love us in a way that you would love us if we were perfect, which we know we can't be. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray, Lord, as we enter into hearing your word this morning, that you would speak to each of us where we're at, working us in ways that we each need. We pray for the mission team this morning, Lord. It was such a great send-off yesterday, praying with them and just seeing this group who stepped up and is committed to going and sharing your gospel to people who have no idea, no clue who you are and how amazing your love is. And so we just pray for them today, wherever they're at, as they start this first day of ministering to this community. We pray that you would bless them, that you would give them the strength, the encouragement they need. We know your Spirit will give them the words that they need, Lord. And so we just ask that you would bless their time there, keep them safe, keep them healthy. We pray for their families who are back here, taking care of all the details that a lot of those people would be taking care of if they were here. And so we ask that you would give them strength and encouragement as well. We pray for the coming weeks, Lord. We know we have this critical election coming up, a time where our country is really just so divided, Lord, and we just pray that our country would be unified in one way and one way only, and that's in you. That we would keep our eyes on you, that we would remember that you are on the throne. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for how you orchestrate things to be the way that they are, and we just ask that you would help us to trust in that. We pray for the rest of the service this morning, and I pray for Mark as he comes and brings your word, Lord. We just ask this all in your name. Amen. Just got a few announcements for you guys. So tonight, the Montes are hosting at their house an informative session on the upcoming elections. So, you know, they really have a heart to just make sure everybody is aware of the critical issues that are coming up in this election. And so just going to be talking about if you don't know where the candidates stand on certain issues, or if you're not even aware of what the actual issues are, incredibly important Proposition 1 coming up. I mean, we've got some stuff that's really, really critical. So see Larry or Sue right back here. What time, Larry? 7:30 at the Monty's house. November 10th is going to be awesome. We're going to have the mission trip group back, so we're going to get to hear all about their trip and everything that the Lord did while they were there, so super exciting about that. And also, that's going to be an amazing day because we have our next diving deep topic, a really interesting one, and the idea of the Sabbath and what that really means. November 24th, Operation Christmas Child. So we always do an amazing job. You guys fill boxes and boxes. I had the honor of taking them last year, so I loaded up all the cars. It was awesome. And then when we got there, the whole church was filled with boxes. So November 24th is coming really, really quick. So let's not forget that either. So Junior Church, you guys are dismissed. So Mark, it's my honor, man. The first time that we came to Wheatland, you were the first guy that walked up to us and greeted us when we came in. So I'm thrilled that I get to be here on your bucket day list and have you come up and give us the word.
And the scripture for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 19 to 26. It says, "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus told her, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." So we have a special video to share with you all now. When you watch this video, the four main points that I brought is that Jesus sees all and knows all. Jesus loves, Jesus saves, and Jesus is God. So you'll be able to see all these different aspects in the video and with the upcoming message. So here we go.
Would you give me a drink? Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come at noon, in the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would. Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water, hmm?
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had five husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Yeah, exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit, And the time is coming and is now here that it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity, was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you, and it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him, because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
Your water!
You forgot your
Foxy, a man who told me everything I ever did!
Rabbi, we got food. What would you like?
I have food to eat that you do not know about. Who got you food?
It's a powerful video. And when I think of what Jesus did at the cross for each and every one of us, I am completely overwhelmed to be in his presence, to bring him glory, to bring him praise and awe and worship. Because there are times in my life when I was the man at the well, suffering in loneliness, rejected by people. But Jesus, that's what I think of. When I think of the hard times, I think, but Jesus. And today's message is an eternal moment in time as the Samaritan woman experienced over 2,000 years ago. This is just a privilege to be here this morning, and I'm going to try to get through all of this, so bear with me. So I'll begin. In the quest of the stable, weighing in the dust and the hay, the hope of all creation, the King that came to save, completely unexpected, only God Himself would send a newborn baby to conquer death and hell. And now in awe and wonder, we stand here amazed, grateful, beyond grateful for that gift of grace. That gift of grace. Here at Wheatland Community Church, we talk about the four G's: to gather, to give, to go, to grow. But let us not forget the big G, the most important G, grace. God's grace, unmerited favor, that we're even here today because of His grace, His mercy. Even in the manger, heaven was crashing into earth. The darkness started bowing to the light of the world. Love was set in motion. What seemed impossible was done. The glorious Savior, even in the manger. 30 years later, heaven was still crashing into earth. You see, Jesus was in the world, and Jesus, being God, created the world. And yet the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own. Salvation is from the Jews, Jesus said. And His own people did not receive Him. Don't we see that today in our world? We live in a broken world, a broken culture, a broken nation. We have an election happening where there's so much hatred being spout out on both sides. And it's getting worse every day. We live in a society where there are 99,000 abortions a month in 2024. 99,000 per month. Los Angeles used to be the city of angels. October 17th, there was a drug bust. Fentanyl laced with heroin. 50 pounds. Enough to murder 11 million people. Every man, woman, and child in Los Angeles. The drugs are coming over the borders. Not just the southern border, but the northern border also. In the state of Washington, a teenager murdered his own family. In the state of Georgia, a dock just collapsed and people were thrown into the Atlantic Ocean. Many did not survive. Our own nation is being ravaged by hurricanes. We have wars that are going on. North Korea has joined Russia in a war against Ukraine, sending their troops. Israel and Iran are attacking each other. And so many innocent people are caught in between and losing their lives. But Jesus, people, Jesus is their hope. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the only hope that we have. Without Him, we have nothing. We are here today because of Him. You see, He came to seek and save the lost eternally. Yet his own people were looking for a worldly, militaristic Messiah to rid the Roman rule of their time under Caesar and Pontius Pilate. In Jesus' time, walking from Nazareth to Jerusalem was approximately 91 miles. Can you imagine walking 91 miles with leather sandals for your foot protection? Can you imagine any of us walking 91 miles one way? Israel was divided into Galilee in the north, Samaria in the middle, and Judea in the south. Jesus and his disciples were in Judea. Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, was baptizing folk in the Jordan River. And Hebrew leadership was feeling threatened. They were feeling anxious. Their rule and authority was being threatened. Their authority was being threatened by Jesus and his followers. One of the Hebrew leaders, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, came to see Jesus at night. So this is the original Nick at Night. I don't know if any of you guys remember. Growing up, there was Nickelodeon at night. So this is Nick at Night. And he came at night because the Pharisees had no use for Jesus, but Nicodemus just felt something in his spirit. The Holy Spirit was working on him. And Jesus told Nicodemus, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus says, "How can this be? Can I enter my mother's womb a second time to be born?" Nicodemus was thinking naturally. He wasn't thinking eternally. Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Just as Moses was lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him." I mean, today is just an incredible day that I get to boast about my best friend, Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and he is my Savior. And one day I get to see him face to face. And this is the only way, people, that we're going to see him face to face, if we believe in him as Lord and Savior, to have a personal relationship with him. Jesus and his disciples left Judea and traveled into Samaria. Now, this was not a route taken normally by the Jews because the Jews had no use for the Samaritans. They called the Samaritans half-breeds. How we hear names in our culture today. You see, the Samaritans in ancient times were conquered by the Assyrians. The Assyrians also conquered Galilee. And those in Samaria ended up intermarrying the Assyrians. So they had a culture of the Jewish culture, the Assyrian culture, Yahweh, and the Assyrian gods together. Where those in Galilee and those in Judea, They did not. So the Samaritans were basically hated. They had no use. And don't we see that today? I mean, because of the color of my skin, I'm called a racist. Well, I drive a racist car too because my car is white. But that's what we're dealing with today. Our world has been turned upside down. So, in 722 BC, Assyria conquered the land. And so we had Samaria. But this trek into Samaria was not easy. It was 35 miles from Jerusalem to Sychar. But it was rocky. And there was a mountain in between called Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim, 9,000 foot high. So Jesus and the disciples had to ascend that mountain and then descend that mountain to get to Jacob's Well. Quite a journey. And that's where Jesus came with his disciples, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. Jesus went to where folk would not go. It's where we need to go. We need to find our Samaria. We need to find our woman at the well. We need to find those that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We need to go. It is wonderful. It's a privilege to gather here on Sundays. But when we leave these doors, we need to be out there in the world and point people to Jesus. Tell people of Jesus. And pray that the Holy Spirit saves them. Because, my friends, all of you who I love so much and pray for, where are people going to spend eternity without Jesus? With Jesus, we're going to spend eternity in heaven one day forever. With new bodies. I'm looking forward to that. But for those who reject Jesus Christ, their eternity is going to be in a place called hell, the lake of fire. And we don't wish that on anyone. We want everyone to know about Jesus. We can't save anyone, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit's God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came to Samaria because it was their eternal moment in time. The woman's eternal moment in time. When we look at the Old Testament, Esther's eternal moment in time was approximately 474 BC. When she had to make the decision to go forward and to save her people from the wicked Haman, who wanted to kill all the Jews. And she had to go before the king unsummoned to plead for her people. The great city of Nineveh in Assyria, evil, evil empire, Assyria. But God the Father had compassion. And their moment in time was approximately 760 BC when this reluctant prophet Jonah came out of a sea creature. I can't imagine the sight of what that had to look like. But the people were saved because they repented from their ways. Their eternal moment in time. Daniel's eternal moment in time when he was thrown into the lion's den was approximately between 530 and 520 BC. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's eternal moment in time was approximately 585 to 575 BC when they were thrown into the fire. My eternal moment in time, I lived in San Diego, California in the early 80s. It was July of 1981 when I was in my apartment and I was just hanging out, getting ready to go out. There's nothing like the left coast back then. I lived in an area of San Diego next to Pacific Beach and Ocean Beach. It was beautiful. And I was in my room, and I heard a voice saying, Mark. Now, there was nobody else there, just me. I heard, Mark, you must be born again. So, well, that definitely got my attention. I had no idea what that meant at that time until I went to a new ministry that had just begun with Mike McIntosh from Calvary Chapel called Horizon Ministry. It was in July of 1981 when I bowed my knee and gave my heart and soul to Jesus Christ, my eternal moment in time. But what about your eternal moment in time? Can you think of when the Holy Spirit got a hold of each of you and said, you must be born again? Can you reflect upon that time? Can you reflect upon that moment? And my people, if there's anyone here that's not sure that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please, please come speak to me after service. You can speak to myself or one of the other elders here. We're here for you. There's no more important decision that you're going to make in your life than where you're going to spend eternity. Is it either going to be in heaven with Jesus forever? Or will it be in hell forever? So as we go through the scripture in John, I want you all just to reflect that Jesus sees and knows all, that he loves, he saves, and he is God. So with Joe's help back there, we're going to open up. If you open your Bibles to John 4. Starting with verse 1. All right. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went to Galilee. The Pharisees were starting to get anxious. So Jesus decided to go to Galilee. All right, Joe. He had to travel through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. As remember, the journey was tough, having to go up and down 9,000 feet to get to Jacob's well. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, she asked for? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. No, they didn't. They hated the Samaritans. And for Jesus just to be talking to a woman, well, that was an outrage in that society back then. And that culture then, especially a Samaritan woman. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You can imagine the conversation going back and forth. The sarcasm. You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. So we have a woman here who definitely knew her biblical history. And Jesus was interacting with her. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Let's just camp there for a second. This water that Jesus is talking about is the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the well of water springing up in us for eternal life. The Holy Spirit fills us and guides us. The Holy Spirit is our conscience. The Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus Christ. This is the well of water that we share with everyone when we go and tell people about Jesus Christ. Okay, Joe. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. And Jesus said, go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. This is where it gets really interesting. This is the point where you see in the story that Jesus knows all. I don't have a husband, she answered. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said. For you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you said is true. So this is a point where we realize that Jesus is fully God and Jesus is fully man. And he knows this woman's past. And people, he knows all of us. There are no secrets in our lives. We can keep a secret from our best friends, but we can't keep a secret from Jesus. He knows it all. He knows everything about us. He created us. We're created in his image. So it's just like, why bother? I mean, if we fall, if we blow it, if we sin, well, just confess it. Don't hide it. Jesus already knows. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. Turn from it. It's called repentance. Turn from your sin. Turn from my sin. Turn from all our sins. And follow Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. He is. He's the only way. And he knows all. So there's no sense in arguing with him because he knows it. He knows everything. And yet, but Jesus, yet he died for us. He died for us on that cross at Calvary. No greater love is love than when one gives their life for another. And that's what Jesus did for each and every one of us. How do you process that? How do you wrap your mind? I have this conversation with Kevin all the time. I said, Kevin, I can't wrap my mind around that God sent God to die for us so that we could spend eternity with him. God was the only perfect sacrifice that God required. How do you wrap your mind around that? But that's what Jesus did. He died for us. He loves us so much. Okay, Joe. So we, from verse 20, our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. You can continue on. Jesus told her, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. Well, of course salvation is from the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. Remember that, people. Salvation comes from Jesus. We have the privilege of being grafted into that. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. This is so important. Worship in spirit and in truth, heart and mind. We don't just have to come on a Sunday to worship God at Wheatland Community Church. We can worship Jesus Christ anywhere we are, anytime, when we're out, when we're interacting with other people, when we're pointing people to Jesus, we worship him. Our whole lifestyle is worship. Worship in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. Yes. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, heart and mind. Our very existence. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And Jesus made the way for us to do that. He made it simple. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming who is called Christ. So she definitely knew the biblical history. Unlike the Pharisees who rejected Jesus, the woman knew that the Messiah is coming who is called Christ. Jesus, Savior, Christ, Lord, Messiah. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. So where did Jesus go for the first time to let people know who he was? He went to Samaria. He went to a woman. He went to a woman at the well. He went to a town called Sychar. That's where we need to go. I mean, we're all good here, right? We're in this Wheatland bubble. We love each other. I pray that you all know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But we need to go beyond there and go into Samaria. All right, Joe. Just then his disciples arrived and they were amazed that he was talking with a woman, of course, because that didn't happen. Yet no one said, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then a woman left her water jar, went into town and told the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? It? I'm in. Okay. Sorry about that. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, Rabbi, eat something, as we saw in the video. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's definitely the battery. The disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? All right, that's better. Jesus told them, don't you say there are still 4 more months and then comes the harvest? Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields because they are ready for harvest. You see, Jesus had prepared the woman at the well and then the town folk for the disciples to be part of the harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor. We're all part of the process. We're all evangelists. We all tell people and point people to Jesus. Now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me everything I ever did. Cannot imagine if we had Jesus come here today, what he would tell us. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. Can you imagine what those 2 days must have been like? What an eternal time. What? That must have been incredible. All right, Joe. Many more believed because of what he said, and they told the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know this really is the Savior of the world." They believed. The Samaritans believed. They became born again. These were outsiders, half-breeds. When we think of this world and how evil it is and everything that's going on, and we can be angry, but no matter what, in this election process, both sides need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The people in Israel and Iran need Jesus as Lord and Savior. Everyone needs the Lord. People need the Lord. People must know. That's why we're here. So we're coming to the end. Thank you for bearing with me. I just have 5 points of application. They go, oh, yeah, 5 points of application. Just what we want to hear. But they'll be quick. Number one. Believe in the Word. Jesus is the Word. Truly believe in him. He loves you so much that he died for you. He died for all of us. And he's coming back again. And this time he's coming back as king and judge. So, my people, the time is short. We need to be about the kingdom work, telling people about Jesus. Because we have no idea when he's coming back, but he is coming back. Point number two, fight for biblical sexuality and the sanctity of life. When we think about what's happening in the world, and we think of the abortion rate, and we think of just pleasure without accountability, we need to fight for what we believe in. We need to fight for what Jesus tells us in the Word. This is important. Too many people are dying. They need to know Jesus. We need to fight. We need to support organizations such as Compass Care. We need to be part of the battle. Point number three, be bold and courageous. All of you, you all can be bold and courageous. We think of what Jesus, you know, how many times did he say, fear not? In the Bible, 365 times it tells us to fear not. I think that's, you know, telling us something, right? Fear not. Be bold. Be courageous. Point number four, live out the truth. All right. Live it out. Do it up. Get out there. Live your life for Jesus. It's time. He loves us so much that he died for us. We need to be part of the battle. And then point number five, proclaim the gospel. Just go out and proclaim the gospel. The life-saving gospel message of Jesus Christ. People need to hear it. They need to know. People must know. People must know that they must turn from their lives. They must realize that at times they blow it, they fall, they sin, but God is willing to forgive them. And Jesus is willing to take them in and embrace them with his love, his compassion, his grace, his mercy. But he's also a God of justice and truth. And the gospel is the only way. Without Jesus, we have nothing and we have no hope. So these are the points of application. Today could be your eternal moment in time. But remember your eternal moment in time when Jesus said, I love you and I want you as my own. You are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. I created you. You are created in my image. And I want to be with you forever in heaven. All right? Worship team, please come up. And I thank you all.